2. Cravat, Steris said, reading from the list.
Tied and pinned, Wax said, pulling it tight.
Shoes?
Polished.
First piece of evidence?
Wax flipped a silvery medallion in the air, then caught it.
Second piece of evidence?
Steris asked, making a mark on her list. He pulled a small folded stack of papers from his pocket.
Right here.
Third piece of evidence?
Wax checked another pocket, then paused, looking around the small office, his senator's chamber in the House of Proceedings.
Had he left them? On the desk back home, he said, smacking his head.
I brought a spare, Steris said, digging in her bag.
Wax grinned.
Of course you did.
Two, actually,
Steris said, handing over a sheet of paper which he tucked away. Then she consulted her list again. Little Maxillium stepped up beside his mother, looking very serious as he scanned his own list of scribbles. At 5 years old, he knew his letters, but preferred to make up his own.
Dog picture,
Max said, as if reading from his list.
I might need one of those, Wax said. Quite useful.
Max solemnly presented it, then said,
Cat picture.
Need one of those, too.
I'm bad at cats,
Max said, handing him another sheet.
So it looks like a squirrel.
Wax hugged his son, then put the sheets away reverently with the others. The boy's sister, Tyndwill, as Steris liked traditional names, babbled in the corner, where Kath, the governess, was watching her. Finally, Steris handed him his pistols one at a time. Long-barreled and weighty, they had been designed by Renette to look menacing, but they had two safeties and were unloaded. It had been a while since he'd needed to shoot anyone, but he continued to make good use of his reputation as the lawman senator of the roughs. City folk, particularly politicians, were intimidated by small arms. They preferred to kill people with more modern weapons, like poverty and despair.
Is a kiss for my wife on that list? Wax asked.
Actually, no,
she said, surprised.
A rare oversight, he said, then gave her a lingering kiss. You should be the one going out there today, Steris. You did more preparation than I.
You're the House Lord.
I could appoint you as a representative to speak for us.
Please, no, she said. You know how I am with people.
You're good with the right people.
And are politicians ever right about anything?
I hope so, he said,
straightening his suit coat and turning toward the door.
Since I am one.
He pushed out of his chambers and walked down to the Senate floor. Steris would watch from her seat in the observation balcony. By now, everyone knew how particular she was about getting the same one. As Wax stepped into the vast chamber, which buzzed with activity as senators returned from the short recess, he didn't go to his seat. Over the last few days, senators had debated the current bill, and his was the last speech in line. He had secured this spot with many promises and much trading, as he hoped it would give his arguments the advantage, give him the best chance to avert a terrible decision. He stood to one side of the speaker's platform and waited for everyone to sit, his thumb hooked into his gun belt, looming. You learn to put on a good loom in the roughs when interrogating prisoners, and he was still shocked by how many of those skills worked here. Governor Varlance didn't look at him. Instead, the man adjusted his cravat, then checked his face powder. Ghostly pale skin was fashionable these days for some arcane reason. Then he laid out his medals on the desk, one at a time.
Rusts, I miss Auradel,
Wax thought. It had been novel to have a competent governor. Like eating hotel food and finding it wasn't awful, or spending time with Wayne and then discovering you still had a pocket watch. However, the governor's job was the type that chewed up the good people, but let the bad ones float blissfully along. Auradel had stepped down 2 years back, and it had made sense to choose a military man as the next governor, considering the tensions with the southern continent. Many people among the newly discovered countries there, with their airships and strange masks, were upset about how things had gone down 6 years ago, specifically that the Ellendale Basin had kept the bands of mourning. Right now, Ellendale faced two primary problems. The first was the people on the southern continent, the foremost nation of which was known as the Malwish. They made constant noise about how small and weak the basin was. Aggressive, militaristic posturing. Varlans had been a hedge against that, though Wax did question where he had earned all those medals. So far as Wax knew, the newly formed army hadn't seen any actual engagements. The second problem was far closer to home. It was the parts of the basin that were outside the capital, the people in what were collectively known as the Outer Cities. For years, maybe decades, tensions had been building between the city of Ellendale and everyone else. It was bad enough to be facing threats from another continent, but to Wax, that was a more distant danger. The immediate one, the one that gave him the most stress, was the prospect of a civil war among his own people. He and Steris had been working for years to prevent that. Barlance finally nodded to his vice-governor, a Terrace woman. She had curly dark hair and a traditional robe. Wax thought he'd known her in the village, but it could have been her sister, and he'd never come up with a good way to ask. Regardless, it looked respectable to have a Terrace person on staff. Most governors appointed one to a high position in their cabinet, almost as if the Terrace were another medal to display. Adawathwin stood up and announced to the room, "The governor recognizes the senator from House Ladrian." Though he'd been waiting for this, Wax took his time sauntering up onto the podium, which was lit from above by a massive electric spotlight. He made a slow rotation, inspecting the circular chamber. One side held the elected officials, senators who were voted into office to represent a guild, profession, or historical group. The other held the lords, senators who held their positions by benefit of birth. "This bill," Wax declared to the room, loud and firm, his voice echoing, "is a fantastically stupid idea." Once, earlier in his political career, talking so bluntly had earned him ire. Now he caught multiple members of the Senate smiling. They expected this from him, even appreciated it. They knew how many problems there were in the basin and were glad someone among them was willing to call them out. "Tensions with the Malwish are at an all-time high," Wax said. "This is a time for the basin to unite. Not a time to drive wedges between our cities." "This is about uniting," another voice called. The dockworkers' senator, Maelstrom. He was mostly a puppet for Hastings and Erikel, nobles who had consistently been a painful spike in Wax's side. "We need a single leader for the whole basin. Officially." "Agreed," Wax said. "But how is elevating the Ellendale governor, a position no one outside the city can vote on, going to unite people?" "It will give them someone to look toward, a strong, capable leader." And that, Wax thought, glancing at Varlance, is a capable leader? We're lucky he pays attention in these meetings rather than going over his publicity schedule. Varlance had, so far in the first 2 years of his tenure, rededicated 17 parks in the city. He liked the flowers. Wax kept to the plan, getting out his medallion and flipping it into the air. 6 years ago," he said, "I had a little adventure. You all know about it. Finding a wrecked Malwish airship and thwarting a plot by the Outer Cities to use its secrets against Ellendale. I stopped that. I brought the bands of mourning back to be stored safely." "And almost started a war," someone muttered in the reaches of the room. "You'd prefer I let the plot go forward?" Wax called back. When no response came, he flipped the medallion up and caught it again. It was one of the weight-affecting medallions the Malwish used to make their ships light enough to fly. "I dare anyone in this room to question my loyalty to Ellendale.
We can have a nice little duel. I'll even let you shoot first.
Silence. He'd earned that. A lot of people in this room didn't like him, but they did respect him, and they knew he wasn't an agent for the Outer Cities. He flipped the medallion and then pushed it higher, all the way up toward the ceiling high above. It came streaking down again, glimmering in the light. As he snatched it, he glanced at Admiral Yannis, current ambassador from the Malwish Nation. She sat in a special place on the Senate floor, where visiting mayors from outer cities were given seats. None had come to this proceeding, a visible sign of their anger. This bill, if approved, would elevate the Elendil governor above all outer cities' mayors, allowing him or her to intervene in local disputes, to the point of removing a mayor and calling a special election, approving candidates. While Wax agreed that a central ruler would be an important step for uniting the basin, this bill was an outright insult to all of their people living outside the capital.
"I know our position," Wax said, turning the medallion over in his fingers. "Better than anyone. You want to make a show of force to the Malwish. Prove that we can make our own cities bend to our rules. So you introduce this bill. But this underlines why everyone outside Elendil is so frustrated with us. The revolutionaries in the other cities wouldn't have gotten so far without the support of their people. If the average person living outside Elendil weren't so damned angry about our trade policies and general arrogance, we wouldn't be in this position. This bill isn't going to placate them. It's not a show of force. It's specifically designed to outrage the people. If we pass this law, we're demanding civil war."
He let that sink in. The others were so determined to appear strong to external enemies. But if left unchecked, they'd strong on themselves right into war over internal disputes. The Malwish problems were real, but not as immediate. Civil war, though, would be devastating. The worst part was, someone was pushing for it in secret. Wax was certain the Set was again interfering in Elendil politics. His sister was involved. He wasn't certain why they wanted a civil war, but they'd been trying for years now. And if he let this proceed, playing into the hands of their real enemies, both the elite around him now and the revolutionaries in the cities outside would have cause to mourn. Wax pulled out the stack of papers in his left pocket. He tucked the dog and cat pictures at the back, then held the rest up to the room.
"I have 60 letters from politicians in the outer cities here. They represent a large faction who don't want conflict. These are reasonable people. They are willing, eager, to work with Elendil. But they are also frightened about what their people will do if we continue to impose tyrannical, imperial policies on them. I propose that we vote down this bill and work on something better, something that actually promotes peace and unity. A national assembly with representation for each outer city and an elected supreme official elevated by that body."
He expected boos, and he got a few. But most of the chamber fell silent, watching him hold those letters aloft. They were afraid of letting power leave the capital, afraid that outer cities' politics would change their culture. They were cowards. Maybe he was too, because the idea of the Set pulling strings terrified him. Who among those looking at him now were secretly their agents? Rostzi didn't even understand their motives. They wanted war, as a way to gain power, certainly. But there was more. They followed orders from something known as Trell. Wax turned around slowly, still holding the letters, and felt a little spike of alarm as he turned his back on Maelstrom. "He's going to shoot," Wax thought.
"With all due respect, Lord Ladrian," Maelstrom said, "you are a new parent, and obviously don't understand how to raise a child. You don't give in to their demands. you hold firm, knowing that your decisions are best for them. They will eventually see reason. As a father is to a son, Elendil is to the Outer Cities.
Right in the back, Wax thought, turning around. He didn't respond immediately. You wanted to aim return fire carefully. He'd made these arguments before, mostly in private, to many of the senators in this room. He was making headway, but he needed more time. With these letters, he could return to each senator, the ones on the fence, and share the words, the ideas. Persuade. His gut said that if the vote happened today, the bill would pass. So he hadn't come here to repeat his arguments. He'd come with a bullet loaded in the chamber, ready to fire. He folded up the letters and tucked them snugly into his pocket. Then he took the smaller stack, two sheets, from his other pocket, the ones that Steris had brought spares of in case he forgot. She'd probably made copies of the other stack, too, and seven other things she knew he wouldn't need, but it made her feel better to have them in her bag just in case. Rusts, that woman was delightful. Wax held up the sheets and made a show of getting just the right light to read.
Dear Maelstrom, he read out loud, we are pleased by your willingness to see reason and continue to enforce Elendil trade superiority in the basin. This is a wise choice. We will deliver 0.5% of our shipping revenues for the next 3 years in exchange for your personal support of this bill. From Houses Hastings and Erekel.
The room erupted into chaos. Wax settled in, hooking his finger into his gun belt, waiting for the cries of outrage to run their course. He met Maelstrom's eyes as the man sank back into his seat. The rusting idiot had just learned an important lesson. Don't leave a paper trail detailing your corruption when your political opponent is a trained detective. Idiot. As the shouts finally died down, Wax spoke again, louder this time.
I demand we hold impropriety hearings to investigate Senator Maelstrom's apparent sale of his vote in blatant violation of anti-corruption laws. And by doing so, the governor said, delay the Elendil Supremacy Bill vote. How could we vote on it, Wax said, if we aren't sure the votes are being cast in good faith?
More outrage. Wax weathered it as the governor consulted with his vice-governor. She was a smart one. Anything Varlence accomplished that didn't involve cutting a ribbon or kissing a baby was probably her doing. As the chamber calmed, the governor looked to Wax.
I trust you have proof of this letter's authenticity, Ladrin?
I've affidavits from 3 separate handwriting experts to prove it's not a forgery, Wax said. And you'll find my wife's detailed account of the letter's acquisition exhaustive and unimpugnable.
Then I suggest impropriety hearings follow, the governor said, after the vote on the supremacy bill.
But, Wax said,
we will, the governor interrupted, require Maelstrom, Hastings, and Erekel to sit out the vote, assuring that the vote is not corrupted.
Damn. Before he could counter that, the vice governor slammed her gavel.
Votes in favor of continuing?
Most of the hands on the Senate floor went up. For a simple vote like this, a more straw poll method would do, unless the vote turned out to be very close. It wasn't. The real vote on the bill would proceed.
Have you any more explosions to detonate, Ladrin? The governor said. Or can we get on with this?
No more explosions, Your Honor, Wax said with a sigh. They were my old partner's specialty anyway. Instead, I have a final plea to the chamber.
His maneuver had failed. Now he had one last card to play. A request not from Waxillium Ladrin, but one from Dawnshot. The lawman.
You all know me, he said, turning around in a circle, meeting their eyes. I'm a simple man from the roughs.
I don't do politics right, but I do understand angry people and the hard lives of working women and men. If we're going to take the role of parent, we should treat our children well. Give them a chance to speak for themselves. If we keep pretending they're toddlers, they're merely going to start ignoring us, at best. You want to send a message? Send the message that we care and are willing to listen.
He took his seat, finally, next to Yancey Yachesko, a good-natured and patient fellow, and one of the senators who'd actually listened to Wax.
Good show, Wax, the man whispered, leaning in. Good show, indeed. It's always a pleasure.
Yancey would vote with him. In fact, a decent number of the nobles empathized with Wax. While a lot of the things Maracy had been saying recently made Wax uncomfortable about his hereditary position, in this instance, the lords might turn out to be slightly less corrupt than their counterparts. The elected senators had to retain their seats, and voting for this bill was likely to improve the lives of their constituents. That was the problem. According to the latest census, more people now lived outside the city than inside it. Most of the laws dated back to when there had been one city and a bunch of farming villages. Now that those villages had grown up into cities, their people wanted a stronger voice in basin politics. Ellendale was no longer a scrappy settlement rebuilding after an apocalypse. They were a nation. Even the roughs were changing, growing, being modernized. Rusts, with all the land in the roughs, he could imagine a time when more people lived there than in the basin proper. They needed to enfranchise those people, not ignore them. He still had hope. He and Steris and their allies had worked for months to erode support for the bill. Innumerable dinners, parties, and even, as he'd started doing for some of the city's elite, some training on the shooting range. All in the name of changing the world, one vote at a time. The governor called for the vote, and Lady Michelle Yeoman cast the first one against the bill. As it proceeded, Wax sat, as anxious as he'd ever been before a confrontation with a bandit group. Rusts, this was somehow worse. Each vote was the crack of a bullet. Lady Fawla and Senator Vindel, how would they break? And Maria? Was she persuaded, or... Two of them voted for the bill, along with multiple others that he'd been uncertain about. Wax felt a sinking feeling, worse than being shot, as the vote proceeded, and eventually landed at 122 for, 118 against. The bill passed. His stomach fell further. If Wax was going to stop a civil war, he'd need to find another way.